Hey guys, it's great to be with you today, albeit in this virtual world. My name's Liam, I'm married to the lovely Jo, and we've got three children together, Naomi, Isaac and Lydia. We've been part of this amazing church for the past 9 years or so. I'm also part of the team here involved in heading up our youth community, and I'm also really passionate about how we connect with our local schools. Now this message is heading out on January the 10th, and I think it's just about acceptable still for me to say a very happy new year to all of you lovely SDC people. Although given recent announcements, it's fair to say that the start of this year isn't how we expected it to kind of be. Christmas does feel a very long time ago, doesn't it? But I do really hope that you and your family enjoyed some time celebrating together over the festive period. It was obviously very different for many of us, but it's safe to say the excitement levels were just as high, if not higher, in the Brennan household this year, particularly as we opened up those presents on Christmas Day. I myself received some brand new wellies, some real ales and some coffee pods, which actually upon reflection is starting to make me feel a little bit uncool and like I'm moving dangerously close to becoming a middle-aged man. But you know what? I like to tell people I'm still in my prime, folks. The kids that have got some cracking gifts, although wellies are a cracking gift. Thank you very much, Joe. Love you. For Lydia, our 6-month-old, we managed to find a foil blanket out of an old first aid kit. No expense spared there, folks. To be honest, she absolutely loves it, so we're on to a winner. For Isaac and Naomi, though, the budget stretched a little bit higher. And the highlight for them was receiving a new kids-friendly camera, each one of those ones with really chunky rubber casing. And they've taken absolute delight in taking all sorts of random pictures of objects, items in the house, and people too, including, bizarrely, my rear end in a dressing gown from unflattering angles. They're weird. And as annoying as it has been to have all that happen, and believe me, it has at times when you've had your a picture of your rear end taken for the 100th time with weird filters put upon it, it's actually been really lovely to see them so engaged and to see them so, I guess, just excited about looking at things in a new way. I think that's been kind of the joy for them, really, with this present. It's seeing that which is familiar, our home and the people in it. And believe me, we spent a lot of time together over the past 10 months. And using this present to kind of gain a new perspective on all of that. In the time that we've got together, I'd love to think about this idea of perspective a little bit more. The title I've been given for this message is New Year, New Opportunities. Now after the recent announcements, you may have a different title for me. Please do be kind in the comments. I'm really very sensitive deep down. When I think of New Year, I think of how we view things. Like, it's a point where we look back and we review what's been, a time to kind of take stock of where we're at, but also I think a time where we very much look forward. And I think even prior to Monday's announcements, many of us were pondering the question, what will this year be like? How's it going to pan out? And I think for lots of us, as we head into January now, there'll be this intense frustration and real sadness that it kind of feels a little bit like that which has gone before. As we find ourselves in yet another national lockdown, with seemingly again all of these unknowns before us, I tentatively tried to consider what God might be saying to us as a church at this time. And as I prayed and really wrestled with this message, I felt it had to do something with perspective, in so much as seeing something that it appears to be all too familiar with really fresh, new eyes in a new way. And yeah, I could be talking about the national lockdown here, but actually I think God is wanting to drive into something a little bit deeper here and hopefully a little bit more inspiring than all of that. I believe that at this tough, tough time, and indeed, you know, now more than ever before, God wants his people, his church, to open their eyes afresh to the power of kindness, of generosity, of simply living to serve others well. We're going to focus today on a very familiar passage of scripture. This comes from the book of Galatians, chapter 6, verses 9 to 10, and I'm going to read it to us now. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. As I say, familiar words indeed, especially if you've, you know, been around SDC over the past few years. To give them a bit of context, they come from a letter from the Apostle Paul written to the Galatian church. Galatia was a Roman province in what was known as Asia Minor, a place that Paul had travelled to on three separate occasions to spread the message about Jesus. And what we know from reading around this a bit is that Paul and his message was received very well by the people there. Indeed, the church grew. But then later on, some people came along and challenged his leadership and his teaching. And what we have here is Paul's response, basically, to that. And essentially, his core message was that faith in Jesus was, is, and forever will be the basis of what it means to be part of God's new community. These agitators, that's how he refers to them in the letter, sought to oppose him, and indeed the gospel message, by pressing non-Jewish people, the Gentiles, into trying to adhere strictly to the Jewish law, the Torah. And the prevailing issue at the time was that of circumcision. As we kind of journey towards the end of the letter, I think Paul kind of sums up his response to all of this beautifully by saying, none of this matters. The only thing that counts is faith in Christ expressing itself in love. I love that. It's Galatians 5, verse 6. And in the part of the letter where our focus verses appear today, chapter 6, Paul is beginning to describe what this saving faith looks like when it's expressed in love. Essentially, what should define the life of this new Holy Spirit-empowered community that God is building? And at the heart of it, Paul says, is this, it's simply doing good. And if we were to look at that word good in the original language that it was written, it's much richer and deeper than the word good that we have. It means that which is, you know, beautiful, honourable acts done for the benefit of others. It's about expressing an outward sign of inward beauty. It's living in a way that's attractive, that's inspiring to others. It's that which is praiseworthy. And Paul writes to the church, do not grow weary in living this way. And if there was ever a word that could describe how we feel about this whole COVID crisis, which we find ourselves very much still in the thick of, maybe weary would be right up there. If we're thinking today about how we see things, I've got to confess to you guys, I have grown weary of trying to look ahead and predict what is going to happen next. We're back in lockdown. Infection rates, death rates are on the rise. Hospitals are being overwhelmed. Schools are closed. We're working from home. The sheer relentlessness of it all, one thing after another battering us, can leave us feeling very wearied indeed. But amidst all the frustration, the pain and the uncertainty, what can we really be certain of? Well, when we look at Jesus, we can know that we are loved unconditionally, irrevocably. And like Paul's readers of the letter at that time, we can know that through faith in Christ and him alone and what he has done and what he will do in the future, there is real hope, and that we, his church, his people, are called to share that hope with those around us. And we do that, Paul says, through simply committing, through pressing on with living a life where we seek to do good, where we choose kindness. This is something that God's been challenging me about over the course of this past year, and will do so in 2021. And I've been reading this kind of great book, which I've been lent, called The Kindness Effect, by a Norwegian pastor called Egil Elling Ellingsen. It's a real nightmare to say that. I'll stick it in the comments, guys. Great book. And it's kind of given me a bit of a language to try and explain what God's been trying to teach me, really. And the heart of this book is about recapturing the Father's heart for a broken world through simply discovering the power afresh of acts of kindness. And in this book, there's story after story of people within the church, this guy pastored, stepping out in this way as the church itself went on a journey making kindness a core value and discovering the freedom, the joy in blessing whoever and wherever they saw an opportunity. So much so that it kickstarted a movement which has been gaining momentum right across Norway in recent years. And in a way, this book has kind of helped me to see more clearly that which God has been trying to show me throughout much of the past year. And it's something that I want to take forward into the new year. And I hope it's a help to us as a church. And I think it's about seeing something which I thought I knew very well indeed, very familiar with, perhaps even, dare I say, had overlooked. And that is the power of simple acts of kindness, small acts done with great love. And I love this passage that I was given from Galatians because it's so simple and yet it's so profound because it talks about opportunity. And right now, we sure as heck cannot be certain of very much when it comes to 2021 and how it's all going to pan out. But what we can say with cast iron certainty is that God is going to give us opportunities to be kind to one another. And that is only going to increase as life gets tougher again. Many of us will have experienced what that's like over these past few months. The first lockdown, for all of its challenges, saw an outpouring of generosity and kindness, of neighbours caring for one another, putting cards through letterboxes, buying in shopping, dropping off gifts. This happened on our street. We've experienced it ourselves. One example springs to mind as I kind of prepared this message. Back in July, through conversation with a neighbour, she discovered it was our wedding anniversary. She knew we'd be maybe busy with parenting on the day and grandparents not able to look after the kids. So she took the opportunity to cook us this amazing breakfast. Now, she was a self-employed chef. Man, those pancakes were flipping amazing. I mean, the toppings on it was so unhealthy, but it was awesome. And I remember at the time, it just blew Joe and I away. Like, we just felt so valued and cared for. And at such a time as this, you know, we can often feel like no one gets us. No one really sees or knows my pain and my struggle. And kindness shatters that assumption. And it reveals to that person in that moment that they matter, that they are loved. We in turn have really felt God gently nudging us over this whole period to take hold of whatever opportunity we can to go and bless others. Our next door neighbours are a house of students. A couple of months back, one of them got COVID. Pretty soon they all had COVID. Naomi, our eldest daughter, she turns 5 in a week, wanted to draw them a picture to cheer them up. So we got a box of chocolates and dropped that all round. A short while after, we discovered George and our intern here in the student squad were creating care packages for self-isolating students. So we grabbed a bunch of those too and popped them through the letterbox, and you know, they were touched. Just before Christmas, we got a knock on the door. It was all of them. They'd all had a COVID test, so it was cool. And they knocked on the door with a lemon drizzle cake. And they just had a little note for us to say how thankful they were that we'd been so kind to them this term. It's a really small, simple thing, but you know, kindness is so effective in a good way. It inspires others to do the same. And in a period where we're finding ourselves again having to isolate from one another, conversely, these simple acts of kindness bring us closer together with the people around us. We've 100% experienced that on our street. We've discovered that one of our neighbours at the top of the road is a Christian and goes to a local church. We actually, when we could do, had him round for a bottle of wine, which was really lovely, proper interesting bloke, great story. And we ended up praying together for the people on our street. And we wanted to do something for Christmas, but we didn't know how, none of us are musical. We discovered that another lady at the bottom of our road is part of a primary school prayer group that we're in. And she's also a dab hand at playing the trumpet. That led to us kind of getting together every Thursday night during Advent to join in with the Sheffield Carols movement. And we took it in turns to share mulled wine. Joe baked some more amazing mincemeat shortbreads. I mean, they were quality. And the final night where we sang a whole bunch of carols together, and I just remember thinking to myself, man, this is absolutely beautiful and so unexpected and surprising, God, in the midst of all that's happening this year, that you would do this. I've experienced this here in my role on the team too. I've actually spent a lot of this past year, if I'm really honest with you guys, very frustrated about how little we could do for our schools because they've been closed to visitors due to the restrictions. I felt that I could at least pray, and I've got involved with a network of Christians from a bunch of different churches across the city to just pray for schools. And out of that time came this idea to bless all staff with individual mini gift bags. I ended up coordinating a whole bunch of those bags going out to a number of local schools. I'd have loved to have done more if I'd had more time and capacity. And kind of as I did so, I just felt God really challenge me about what it looks like to serve schools well. My sort of previous experience had been about trying to reach, you know, X many students with a gospel message through a big band going in. And that is not to discount any of that at all. You know, our young people need to know they have a Father in heaven who loves them and who thinks they're precious in his sight. But you know, as I prepared these bags, I felt God challenge me on this, like, who am I doing this for? Is it about a number? Because to be honest, I have no idea how many staff might have got those bags. I know how many were sent out, but I don't know how many got them. I've no idea what the impact of those bags might be or what might come as a result. But you know, kindness isn't measured by results in that way. I think it has a value and a meaning in and of itself. It's as that passage says, simply loving the person in front of you that day that God's put around you. And it may be a school, it may be a staff member, it might be just the person next door, your neighbour, that elderly person on the corner who lives on their own and who's shielding. Maybe it's a family now battling away again with the blessed homeschooling. Or maybe a friend who's struggling with their own mental well-being. That's the message of Galatians 6. Keep your eyes open. Look out for the opportunities to bless. And church, do not give up. Because this scripture tells us that at the proper time, a God-appointed time, there will be a harvest. In other words, there will be fruit if we live this way. A life based upon kindness will bring about change. Every time we sow a seed of kindness, we create a new opportunity for something else to grow. And that really is the message of the gospel. It's the message of hope that we carry for our city. And we believe that a time like that is coming, not just when lockdown ends and we've vaccinated enough people and we can move forward. We're talking about the promise of Revelation 21, the new heaven, the new earth. God's garden has become a city, a place where there is no more suffering and sickness and pain, and that this battered, broken, weary old world will be made new. And every so often we get just a little taste of what that might be like. And I think we see that when we step out and we seek to bless those around us. God's kingdom breaks in. As I draw this all to a close, a kind of picture that I've had in my head recently has been that from the prophetic books of Isaiah and Jeremiah concerning Israel, God's people, being like clay on a potter's wheel. And I just get this sense, in all the craziness that's happening right now, that God is trying to reshape and reform his church to become more like him. And if kindness is an aspect of God's character, then surely this should be a part of the church's character too. And I believe that right now God is wanting to bring us a fresh perspective in a time that feels so painfully familiar. Kindness isn't something we do. It's who we are to the core. It's who we are becoming as well. And we can know that, we can see that, we can hear that message. But the challenge for me, and I think the challenge for us as a church, is to ask God, will we let you cultivate that in our hearts this year? Will we let him mold and shape us and not let COVID and all that comes with it define us? Will we let him shape us more into the image of his son? Will we surrender ourselves, our hearts, afresh to him this year with all the unknowns, the questions and the frustrations and challenges, when everything around us and in us is screaming, when is this going to end? What about me and my life? Will we trust God? Will we take hold of the hand of the one who promises to hold us, restore us, and deliver us? And will we allow him to open our eyes a little bit more to those opportunities that we have to bless our neighbours, our friends and colleagues with simple acts of kindness? in the knowledge that, you know, in a way we can't really fully understand, they reveal just a little something of his amazing grace and mercy to a city, to our communities, which right now are in pain, are confused, and are probably without hope and direction. Lord, let our prayer be this year that this be what defines us as a church, that we have a message of hope for our city, that in such tough times we can carry as we simply seek to live out our lives through kindness, through generosity, in doing good. Folks, that's what I think God wants to share with us today. I'm going to end simply with a prayer, and this is something that I've been praying actually over these past few days. I've taken it from the 24/7 Lectio 365 app, and in the absence of the SDC podcast, I'd really recommend getting involved in something like that. Each day they've ended with this following prayer. Let this just be our prayer now, and a prayer for our church indeed, as we enter this new year. Are we going to let the Father shape us that we might become more like the people he's made us to be? Let's pray. Just be still now in all the busyness and the craziness, whenever and wherever we find ourselves listening to this message, and just invite God to come and to speak to us and to minister to our hearts. And we pray these simple words. Father, help me to be true to you in every way this day. Jesus, help me to give myself away to others, to be kind to everyone that you put around me. Spirit, help me to love the lost, to proclaim Christ in all that I say and in all that I do. I offer you my heart, God, this day and this year. Amen.